Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Do me a favor. I want everybody here in the room together. On the count of three, we're going to say the word belong. Are you ready? One, two, three. Belong. If you're joining online, type belong in the chat. And that begs the question, do you know where you belong? Like really belong. Do you know where that is? And I wonder if you've ever had a situation like this where you've walked into a room and you felt like you were the only one without an invitation. Have you ever been around a certain group of people and changed your personality in that moment so that you could fit in with that group and they might like you a little bit more? You know, a lot of times we spend our lives auditioning, right? Trying to see where we may or may not fit. And what we're talking about today is actually how to stop doing that, how to discover who we are and where we belong. And here's what I want to tell you. The answer to the question, where do I belong, is this. You belong with God. You belong with Him, right? More than anything else. But the challenge is that a lot of us don't fully realize that. And when we ask the question, where do I belong? We tend to answer it in one of two ways. The first way that a lot of people answer the question, where do I belong? Is they say, well, I belong wherever it is that I fit in. I belong wherever I'm accepted. And so if there's a group of people who accept me, then that must mean that's where I belong and that's who I am. The other way that that typically gets answered is this. I belong where I want to be accepted, right? And so I have a desire. There's something in my mind. I want to be with a certain group of people. I want to be known in a certain way. And so I belong where I want to be accepted. What's very interesting is this question, where do I belong, overwhelmingly shapes the question we talked about last week, which is, who am I? And if you don't have the first question answered clearly first, the second question, where do I belong, shapes the first question. And that's a reversal. You never want to be in that situation where the people around you are defining who you are. What do I mean by that? So if I get accepted, right, if I find acceptance with the athletes, okay, that's going to start to shape my identity, right? Their priorities become my priorities. Their values become my values, right? Who I'm accepted by begins to shape my identity. If I want to be accepted by, if I want to roll with the wealthy or the successful or the whatever, then I will let that shape my life and my directions and my values and my priorities. You understand what I'm saying? And so what I want to tell you is this, is you actually don't have to go looking for where it is that you belong, because the Bible already tells us very clearly that you and I belong with God, right? We're created in His image. We're loved by Him. We're welcomed home through faith in Jesus Christ. You belong to God. How do I know that you belong to God? Well, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today and looking at the scriptures on how to answer that. So if you brought a Bible, as Josh had mentioned, open up to Ephesians chapter 1. One, I do want to welcome you. So glad you're here with us today. My name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors, and I'm really glad you're with us today. I want to welcome everybody who's joining at Lighthouse Online. Thank you for being with us wherever you're joining from. And then I want to welcome all of our guests who are here in the house with us, especially if you were here last Sunday and it was your first time and you're like, hey, I want to check this place out again. Now, I want to tell you something about Resurrection Sunday for us at Lighthouse. We tend to keep our services and do the same thing each weekend, even on Easter Sunday. Why? Because we want you to know, if your first time was on Easter, you're going to experience that same thing 52 weeks out of the year. So we don't do some big old huge special blowout and whatever, and then you come back the next week and you're like, oh, Last Sunday was more fun. I just keep coming back to that, you know, once a year, every couple times a year. We do the same thing every Sunday because we want you to know, man, if you just want to walk with God and know who he is, that's what we do here. So I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you returned and you're with us again. And I'm wondering, Lighthouse family, can we take a moment and welcome all of our guests who are here, either for the first time or maybe they're coming back from before? We're still in this series we started last Sunday called Four Questions. Four questions everyone should ask and answer. So last week was Who Am I? If you missed that, jump online. You can listen to it. You can watch it. I think that's really, really helpful. In fact, Who Am I? Question really needs to be answered before the Where Do I Belong? But that's the question that we're answering today. Next Sunday is How Does God Change Me? And then we're ending with Why Am I Here? So great series that we're getting into. Let's jump into Ephesians chapter 1. Really quickly, before we start reading this, this is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. He's writing it to a group of Christians in the city of Ephesus, and he's helping them to understand who they are in Christ and then what that means for daily living. So everything we're doing here this morning. Here's what Paul wrote to his friends in Ephesus. He said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And so what Paul is saying, he said, listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have been given these gifts, right? These blessings from God. In fact, Paul says it this way, he's not withheld any of them, right? We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. So how do I know that you belong with God? How do I know that I belong with God? Well, we're going to look at three blessings that God gives to Christians that let you know that that you belong to him. So we're going to look at these three gifts that God gives to us. Here's the first gift. If you're a Christian, God chose you, okay? If you're a Christian, God chose you. And so what do we do with that? Join his family. God chose you, join his family, right? If you pick back up, Paul talks about the blessings that God has given to us. If we pick back up with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we see this is what Paul wrote. He says, "For he," meaning God, "chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." And so what Paul is writing here is that before the creation of the world, before there was water and land, before there was animals, before there was sun, moon, and stars, before there was a separation between light and dark, before God began speaking the universe into existence, God chose you. God chose you, and he wanted you. God knew that he was going to create you, and he wanted you. Right? That's what this is exposing for us. And here's what you have to understand. He didn't only see you as you are, but more so saw who you could be and who you would be in Christ. Right? He saw who you would be in Christ. That's why it says he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ to be holy and blameless, to walk in his character, to be like him. This is God's plan for you. This is God's plan for humanity. He determined ahead of time to adopt you into his family through faith in Christ. So I just want you to think about this for a moment. Before there ever was the problem of sin in the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve, and all of that got passed down to you and me, God already had the solution that Jesus would solve our sin problem. He already knew that you would be adopted through faith in Jesus Christ, not of your own works, not of your own effort, because of what Jesus did, so that you could now be a part of his family and be seen as holy and blameless, the same as Jesus. And I love this. God not only chose you, but the Bible says that he drew you. He drew you to Jesus. He draws you to himself. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 44. It says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." What this means is nobody wakes up some morning and goes, you know what, I think I'm going to follow after God. And it's like this original idea that they came up with on their own. In fact, what Jesus is saying, God places the desire within you to want to know him, to want to put your faith in Jesus, to discover who he is. God wants you to know him. God wants you to be saved and forgiven. By the way, it is no accident that you're here today. You didn't pop in here just because. You're not simply here out of habit. You didn't log in today because you didn't have anything else to do. You are here. You are a part of this church family today because God drew you to himself. He wants you to know who he is. He wants you to know who his son Jesus is. He wants you to put your faith in him. He wants you to walk with him because God loves you, because you belong with him. And if God is drawing you to himself, lean in. Lean in. Don't resist him. Draw close, right? Draw near to him. Step into his family. This is what James chapter 4, verse 8 is talking about. In fact, let's read this passage out loud together, starting with come near to God. Are you ready? Go. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. When you and I draw near to God, he draws near to us. But the cool thing is the reason we draw near to him is because he was already drawing us to himself. He's simply inviting you to come be with him, and he's pulling you to himself. So I think that begs a question for some of us in here. You're going, okay, well, how do I draw near to God? What does that look like for me? Well, if you look at the passages around James chapter 4, verse 8, it says things like this: humble yourself before God, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So one of the key ways that you can draw near to God is actually just starting with humbling yourself. Right? Humble yourself before God. What exactly does that mean? Well, I would say this. Humbling yourself means accepting the truth that we talked about last week, that you are a created person created by God. You don't exist here on your own. You're not designed to live on an island in isolation by yourself. You are actually designed to know God, to love God, and to rely on God for absolutely everything. So humbling yourself actually begins with the idea that I'm a created person who's made to know God. And in fact, if that idea, if you like resist that, if you think that you can fix your life on your own, what you're doing is you're actually resisting God's will and his character. And the Bible makes it clear, right? The passage right before this, God opposes the proud. So if you're going to draw near to God, you actually have to get rid of pride, and you've got to humble yourself before him to realize this is God and I am not. The other thing the passages say around this is actually to submit yourself, right? So you humble yourself, but also you submit yourself, meaning I yield authority of my life to Jesus' leadership. I'm a created being. I'm designed to know God, love him, rely on him for everything. And so submitting is yielding my authority. Right, Jesus, you know who I'm supposed to be. You know what my life is supposed to look like. And so I'm going to trust you over anything else. And the simplest way for you and I to humble ourselves and to submit ourselves, I'm going to tell you, this is so simple, it's so easy. If you would do this, this will lead you in the direction of humility and submission: reading the Bible. If you would simply take time to actually read the scriptures for yourself. When you read the Bible, when you think about the Bible, when you believe the Bible, you begin to understand who God is, you begin to understand who you are, and it leads you to things like humility, it leads you to things like submission. You will draw near to God. And what did the Bible verse say that we read? When we draw near to God, God draws near to us. And the whole reason we're drawing near to him is because he was already calling us to himself to come to him, right? Nothing will make you know that you belong with God like being chosen. We spend our entire lives being rejected by all kinds of different situations and all kinds of different people. But God has made it clear. He has chosen you. You belong with him, right? That's the first blessing. Here's the second blessing that lets us know that we belong with God. It's this: Jesus redeemed you. Receive his forgiveness. The second blessing that Paul begins to talk about is the fact that you and I, if you're in Christ, you are redeemed. And if that's the case, then receive his forgiveness. Check out what the passage says in verses 7 through 12. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we were also chosen. There it is again, chosen. Having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Now, this redemption, this is the gift. I got to tell you this. This is the central gift that welcomes you into God's family, right? The redemption of Jesus Christ. Do you know what redemption is? When the Bible uses that word, do you know what redemption is? It's not a word that we use a whole lot, but redemption simply means this: paying the price that's owed for freedom. That's what redemption is in the Bible. Paying the price that's owed for freedom. Let me give you an example. When I was a younger person and I wasn't following Jesus, I had a car impounded, okay? We don't need to know the story behind it, okay? But here's what you can know. My car is in jail, all right? I wasn't, but my car was. Now, to get my car out, I had to redeem it, right? I had to pay for it. If I didn't, right, the car's just sitting there. It's in the fence. It's stuck, incurring fees, right? Like, there's nothing that can happen. You're just stuck in that moment. By the way, that's a great metaphor for sin, that when you and I are in sin and in death, we're essentially impounded. You're stuck. You're going nowhere. You're incurring fees, incurring debts, right? Just building, 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 building up. But if I wanted my car back, I had to redeem it in order to get it back. In Paul's time, there was forms of slavery, not to the similar to the ones that we had in our culture back in the 1700s and 1800s, but there was a slavery, and you could buy your freedom. Right? A slave could buy his freedom. He could redeem himself by paying the price that was owed. But people didn't always have the money to pay for their own freedom. So what they could do is they could ask someone else who had the resources to buy their freedom for them, right? To redeem them for themselves. Here's the issue. Now you owe them, right? So you're free, but now you owe them for paying for your freedom. Jesus gave you the gift of redemption, okay? So he pays for you and me to be free from sin and death. And the price he paid was with his very life, right? The price he pays is with his own blood. So he's not handing out cash. He's not handing out favors. He is paying for your debt and for my debt with his life and with his blood. In fact, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 puts it this way: with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. What this passage is talking about, that in the Old Testament before Jesus, when a person sinned, when they, essentially their life was impounded and they needed to be redeemed, they would go to the temple and they would sacrifice a substitute, right? There would be an animal, a goat, a lamb, calves, whatever it was, and that would take the punishment of the person so that they can be redeemed, right? So there was a sacrifice, and you had to do that every time, right? Every time you committed sin, you had to go and be redeemed at the temple. So what this is saying is Christians don't do that anymore. Why? Because Jesus gave his life and he shed his blood once for all time, for all people who would put their hope and their faith in him, okay? And it's secured forever. It's secured forever, right? Jesus pays for your redemption because you and I, we can't pay for it. But here's the cool thing. He never asks you to pay him back. You owe him your very life. You owe him your very eternity. And Jesus does not ask you to pay him back. He offers it to you and to me as a gift, right? Essentially what Jesus does is he absorbs the cost of your sin and your debt. He takes on the loss himself. Let me give you an example, because that's what forgiveness is, right? That's forgiveness is absorbing the cost. But we'll just give an example. Let's say I loan you, Will, right? Okay, Will, let's say, Will, I loan you, I'm so glad he didn't call on me, right? So I loan you $1,000, okay? Say you need $1,000, I loan you $1,000. Yes, hey, I don't have it, okay? Actually, I may be talking to you after the service, Will. But I loan you $1,000, you do whatever you need to do with it, but then you can't pay me back, okay? So Will and I, right, we're like Christians, we're walking with Jesus, and I pray about it. I'm like, okay, Will, you know what? I'm going to forgive you that $1,000. I'm not going to ask you to pay me back. So it's forgiven, right? The debt is forgiven. What happens to that debt? Does it just vanish? Does it go away? Like it's over? Is that how it works? The $1,000 is still out there, right? But I'm saying I forgive Will for that. If I forgive him, I'm saying I'm never going to ask you for that payment again. I am now going to eat the cost of that $1,000. I'm at a $1,000 loss, right? I absorb the cost. That's what forgiveness is. That's what Jesus has done for you and for me, right? I take the loss and I never ask you for payment. Jesus died the death that you deserve for your sin so that you could live free from the penalty of sin and from death. And so essentially what Jesus does is he takes Will's debt and he stamps on it, paid in full. Never to be owed ever again, nor any future debt that's out there as well. And then what he does is he gives you his inheritance. So here's the cool thing. You don't just get out of debt and you get to start at zero and try to build your life back up again. You get the inheritance of Jesus, which essentially means you are now a spiritual billionaire, right? That everything that's true of Jesus is true of you. This is why we can be holy and blameless, because now we carry the identity of Jesus. Do you see why answering the question, who am I, matters of greater importance ahead of the time of where do I belong? Because who am I shapes absolutely everything else. And so Jesus offers to cover your debt as a gift. It's a gift. But here's the thing. You still have to receive the gift. You still have to accept it. Right, this is the wonderful mystery of his love, that God would rescue rebellious people like you and me. Right, you still have to receive it. It's one thing for it to be offered. It's another thing to say, yes, I want that, and I'll take it. Which goes back to what we talked about before, humility and submission. Nothing will humble you quicker than realizing that you need help and you can't fix yourself. And that's actually where you got to be to be able to receive this great gift. This is what Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, that the payment for sin is death, but the gift that God freely gives is everlasting life found in Christ Jesus our Lord. You cannot find that anywhere else. You can't find everlasting life in this world. You can't find it in a human relationship. You can't find it in accomplishment or success. The only place that you can find everlasting life is in Jesus Christ, and you can only welcome it into your life as a gift. There's nothing else, right? And so why do I know that you belong with God? Because Jesus redeemed you, right? Look at all that he has done so that you could be with him. Here's the last blessing that we're going to talk about, the last gift. These aren't the only three, by the way, but these are the three that we're really jumping out, spending time in this passage and meditating on it. The last one is this. The Spirit marked you, so enjoy his presence. If you're a Christian, the Spirit has marked you, and so enjoy his presence. Here's how that passage begins to wrap up in verses 13 and 14. It says, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal." What's the seal? The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. What this is saying is that those who genuinely put their faith in Jesus, those who are born again through faith in Christ, get the greatest gift, the Holy Spirit. God himself shows up in your life. Right? This is why one of Paul's favorite phrases throughout the Bible is to talk about that we are in Christ. We are in him. We are in Jesus Christ, right? Like 11 times just in the passages that we're reading is that phrase, in Christ. Because not only are we in Christ, but actually God is in us through the Holy Spirit. Now, what the Bible says here is that the Holy Spirit is like this signet ring. You know what a signet ring is? We don't use them very much these days. But back in the day, you would like a ruler, an authority would have a ring, and on that ring would be like a mark or a logo or a family crest. And when they were sending out an official notice for people to, you know, follow, obey, to be aware of, they would take a piece of wax or a drop of wax and put it on a letter or seal it. And while the wax was still moldable, they would push that signet ring into it, putting their mark on the wax in the letter. And so what Paul is doing is using a contemporary analogy to say the Holy Spirit's like that signet ring. When you say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit marks your life. And then he goes, well, and if that's not enough, you know what he's like? He's like a deposit. He's like a down payment. That you belong to him, and there's still all of these great blessings yet to come, right? You get this awesome down payment, and you have all the joy of walking with Jesus and the hope of eternity and transfer. All of that stuff is there and real, right? Now, when you read in the Bible, here's what you have to understand. When you read in the Bible, when you see instances of people coming to faith in Jesus, what happens is the Spirit shows up in their life, right? When people say yes to Jesus, the Spirit shows up in their life. Here's why that's important. The Holy Spirit is not optional. You need him. You need him. You need the Holy Spirit living in your life. Yesterday morning, so my family was having breakfast, and my youngest son, Hendrix, who's 13, decided to lead a conversation on 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he said, hey, here's this verse for today. Let's talk about this. And I was like, okay, so we did. And he read it. I don't know how official this translation is, but he read it from the Y'all translation. So what the Y'all translation does is the New Testament is overwhelmingly written in the plural. So when you see like you, it doesn't always mean like you individually. It means you y'all, right? Like all y'all together. So we read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 in the Y'all. And here's what it says. Or don't, y'all, and I think you have to like be up in pitch a little bit when you say y'all. So it's like, or don't y'all know that y'all's body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in y'all, whom y'all have from God. Y'all are not y'all's own, for y'all were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in y'all's body, right? Like, so, again, I don't know how many translators were working on this version of the Bible, but you get the point, okay? So we read it, and we talked about it. And so what this sparked this whole conversation to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, which led us to talk about the fact that a born-again believer has to have the Spirit of God in their lives. Like if there are two things that clearly mark if somebody is a follower of Jesus, one is the Holy Spirit and the other is belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the two core things. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Because you read your Bible doesn't mean you're a Christian. Because you pray, because you cry during worship songs, it doesn't mean you're a Christian. What the Bible says that if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're not a believer. That's what it says, 1 Corinthians 15. It also says that if the Spirit of God is not living inside of you, you don't belong to him either. We're going to look at that in just a moment, right? Belief in the resurrection and the Spirit of God living inside of you are absolutely central. And so we're talking about this idea that the Holy Spirit is so central to walking with Jesus. In fact, that's why we don't need a temple anymore. It's why we don't sacrifice animals, because Jesus has given the ultimate sacrifice. It's why we don't go to a temple to worship. Why? Because together now, we can worship anywhere we want to. Do you think we really need this building to worship Jesus? No. We can worship him anywhere. Jesus said that in John chapter 4. The true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. They're not going to say it has to happen on this mountain or in this mountain or at this temple. The kind of worshipers that please God are those who worship in spirit and truth. The Spirit of God's got to be living in you, and it's got to be based around the truth of Scripture, right? The Holy Spirit is absolutely central to every born-again believer. In fact, Paul goes so far as to say this. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And here's, you got to catch this. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. If the Spirit of God is not living in you, that's a demarcating piece. The resurrection of Jesus and the Spirit of God living inside of you, right? Which then begs a question for a lot of people. How do I know if the Spirit of God is living inside of me? How do I know that I have that gift? Well, a couple verses right after verse 9 here, in chapter 8, verse 16, it says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." And so what this is exposing is this, is that genuinely born-again believers through faith in Jesus Christ and his resurrection, you enjoy this deep, abiding assurance that you belong to God. There's this closeness, right? It's hard to describe unless you've experienced it, right? Because we don't really have the words for it. It's a little bit like a feeling, but it's deeper than a feeling. It's like truth, but it's more than truth. It's like this experiential reality that God resides within me. Like, listen, I don't wonder if I'm saved or not. I don't wonder, like, even when I make poor choices, even when I hurt people accidentally, or even sometimes, and I'm trying to get back at somebody who said something to me that I didn't want to hear, right? Like when I choose to disobey God, I don't wonder in that moment if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ or not. Why? Because I know that the Spirit lives in me. It's just a truth that resides deep down in the core of who I am. And what the Spirit of God does is when I do make those wrong decisions, he invites me to confess those, to ask forgiveness, and to know that I'm still God's son. Yes, I chose a sinful decision, but I still belong to him. And he's recreating me, and he's reshaping me, right? There's like this knowledge, this understanding, this depth, this truth that I belong to Jesus because the Spirit has testified with me that I belong to him, right? Not because of my work, but because of the work of Jesus Christ, right? And so that's one way that we know that the Spirit lives in us. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 8. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God, right? In that moment, Jesus was talking to some religious people. I know you go to synagogue every week, and I know you got all your little rules and morals and laws and all that kind of stuff, but he says, listen, one of the ways that you know you belong to God is you enjoy discovering what the Bible says. You enjoy discovering what it says about God, what it says about you. You enjoy believing it and letting it shape you. You are actually drawn to want to know God from Scripture. You want to find out who he is. You want to know the works that he's done in the past. And even if you've read through the entire Bible one time, you want to do it again. And you want to do it again because it's not about accomplishing a check mark. It's about drawing close to God because the Spirit of God is living in you, right? That's another evidence that you belong to him. And then Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. Let's read this out loud together, starting with those who belong to Christ. Are you ready? Go. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by, let us keep in step with. Yeah. So what this verse doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you're not tempted by sin. It doesn't mean that you don't choose at times sin. That's not what this passage is saying. It is saying that the Spirit is changing me. I now have this increased desire in holiness and godliness and knowing him and walking with him. And I have this increased distaste for sin. I have this increased distaste for self-centeredness. That when I make decisions that are out of line with Scripture and out of line with God's character, there is a level of, why did I do that? I don't want to do that. That's not who I am. That's not why Jesus died, right? And so that's what it looks like to crucify the flesh. And sometimes there's really hard decisions that I have to make, that I remove this out of my life because it's actually a gateway for me to walk in sin in opposition to God. And so I actually just cut it out and I move on from that, right? It's enjoying the Spirit's transforming work in my life. And don't get me wrong, this isn't like a tight-lipped discipline and I'm going to do better and I'm going to be a better person, get up early and I'm going to live with joy, man. Right? That's not what I'm talking about. Right? There's a level that while I'm trusting God, at the same time, the Spirit is doing a transforming work in me. And I'll show up in similar situations that I've been before where I've gotten like angry or I've gotten short or sarcastic. And then I enter back into a similar situation like that and I'm not angry. And I'm not sarcastic. Actually, I'm like, have joy in that moment. There's like forgiveness coming out of me and patience. I'm like actually wanting to be helpful to this person as opposed to just get my point across and show them that I'm right. Because that's the Spirit's work. He's transforming me. He's changing me from the inside out. At the exact same time while you're reading the Bible, while you're spending time praying, while you're serving other people, the Holy Spirit is inside of you working, changing, transforming the way that you think about things and perspectives. All this is happening simultaneously. That you end up in these environments where you're like, wow, I surprised myself in that moment, right? I don't know, some of you guys who have been married or maybe really close with a friend or something like that, have you ever had a situation where like you've been there with your spouse or your friend and you almost always do the same thing in every environment and then all of a sudden something changes and you walk away from it? I remember having that. I was stressed out about something. And when I get stressed, I get really isolated and I start getting kind of sarcastic and I don't really like to be around people. And so I was like stressed out about a situation. And yet I wasn't isolating and I wasn't being sarcastic. And I didn't even notice it, but I remember Christine and I were laying down in bed that night. And she goes, hey, can I tell you something? And I was like, all right, bring it. You know, and she's like, something's going on. She's like, you're different. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I see all the stress that you're carrying right now, and you're not doing what you normally would used to do. She's like, I just want you to know I see the Spirit working in your life. And I was like, that's awesome, right? I had to pause and take a moment and realize what God was doing. That's the gift of the Spirit. Enjoy Him. Enjoy the work that He's doing. Enjoy Him drawing you to Scripture. Enjoy Him drawing you to prayer, right? He's a gift. And the Holy Spirit is one of the key gifts and that show that you belong with God. Chosen, redeemed, marked by the Spirit, three gifts that God gives to believers. Now, what Paul is doing is he was exposing truth for Scriptures, or for Christians, sorry. So he's saying, hey, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is true of you. And at the same time, do you know what Paul's doing? He's painting a picture for those of us who aren't followers of Jesus yet, saying this could be you. It's not you right now, but it could be you. You could be chosen. You could be forgiven. You could be marked by the Spirit and let Him transform you and change your life. Can you imagine what it would feel like to be chosen by God? What would it feel like to be forgiven? To get rid of that burden, that weight. What do you think it would be like to have the Spirit of God living inside of you, empowering you, changing you, transforming you? The Bible's clear, the only way you get those gifts is in Christ. You can't get them any other way. They don't come into your life in any other way. So where do you belong? You belong with God in Christ. That's where you belong. The other thing I would say is this. You belong here at Lighthouse Community. I want you to know that. You belong right here. Because you have a family here who will help you. We will help point you to God. We will help you walk with God. We will help you know who He is. And it doesn't matter if you're a believer or not. We just want to help everybody. Right? If you want to know who God is, we want to help you. If you want to walk with God, we want to help you. And so you have a family here that you can belong to. Now, there's what I would say two types of people in the room today, two types of people who are joining online. For some of you, you're already in Christ. You belong to Christ. You've been chosen, you've been marked, and you've been forgiven and you've been redeemed. And so here's what your next step I would consider you to do. Taking time to learn about your salvation in Christ. Because that's what Paul is doing. He's pulling back the curtain. He goes, yes, you're saved. Yes, you're forgiven. Let me tell you what that looks like. Let me tell you what that means, right? I got to tell you, I've been spending time in these passages, just meditating on them, reading them over and over and over again. You know what's been happening to me? Man, I've been filled with joy. It has been joyful for me to be reminded multiple times a day for the last few weeks that I am chosen and I am forgiven and I am marked by the Holy Spirit, not because of things that I have done and I have accomplished, because how good and great and awesome God is. And this is just the tip of the iceberg of blessings that God still has for me in my life. When you see what Jesus has accomplished for you and what God has done, it leads you to deeper worship. It leads you to deeper joy. It leads you to new places of trust, right? It's amazing what God does when you begin to understand what he's done. You want to tell other people about it. And so one next step, it's on the back of your connection card, is to say, hey, I want to learn more about him and my salvation. We can recommend some resources to you. There is a book in our Welcome Center. It's underneath the Welcome Home banner, called Christian Beliefs, 20 Basics That Every Christian Should Know. Grab that on your way out. That's a really quick, easy read, and you can discover a lot of things about who God is and what he's done. The other thing, too, could be being a part of our membership class on Saturday, April 25th. We're going to unpack what Lighthouse Community believes and why we believe it. And so that might be a way for you to take a step of growth in understanding what Jesus has done for you. And so if you're a believer, that might be a really good next step for you. But there's others of you in here. You have been near to God, but you're not in Christ. You've been investigating, you've been exploring Jesus, but you haven't said yes to him. And so what it's like, it's kind of like you're standing on the outside of a warm house while it's raining. You see what's happening, you see how good it is, you've heard it described, how wonderful it is, but you're on the outside. And here's what I want to tell you. You have a father on the front porch who says, come on home. And he comes out to you and he draws you to himself through faith in Jesus Christ and says, join the family. Will you step in? You belong here. You still got to make a decision. You got to say yes. Yes, I receive your redemption. I receive your choosing. I receive the Spirit of God to live inside of me. When you know that you belong to God, you get his Spirit and his power and his guarantee that you're his forever. You get a new spiritual family. Right here in Lighthouse Community, you get brothers and sisters all over the world. Some of them in China, some of them in Zimbabwe. We've got two right now, Ben and Brianna are in Zimbabwe sharing the gospel. We're grateful for you guys and what you're doing. You got some in Colombia who love, like, you got this huge family that you belong to now. And that even if you're rejected everywhere else in the world, if God chooses you, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. You belong with God. And so accept his invitation into his family. He's saying, welcome home. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We like to end each teaching the same way, just asking a question. Jesus, what are you saying to me? And I want to give you a chance to listen to him and what he may be saying to you right now. God, I don't want anybody to just only know about you. I don't want anybody to just be near you or to be witness to what's going on. God, I want everybody in this room, everybody online, everybody who can hear the sound of my voice to be in Christ. Because in Christ is the most remarkable place to be. I have never been anywhere in this world or in my life like it is to be with you. To be saved, forgiven, redeemed through the work of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God living inside of me. And I want that blessing for every single human being here. And so God, will you draw people to faith in you? That maybe today is the first day that things are clicking for them. And they're going, oh, it's more than attending a church. It's more than having feelings and emotions. This is truth applied to life at its depths. And we recognize that this is a work that only the Spirit can do. And it's a work that Jesus has already accomplished. And so will you grant us the courage and will you grant us the faith, no matter where we are in our journey, to say yes to you, to transfer trust from our own abilities, to transfer our trust into the work of Jesus Christ alone on our behalf. Will you lead us to that kind of a place, we pray.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.